And let us pray. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting and the watching, in the hoping and the longing. Speak to us during the sorrowing and the sighing and the times of rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in this Christmas season, and walk with us until you come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This month, you know, it's January, it's the beginning of the new year, maybe you have some new habits, you made some New Year's resolutions, so this month at Frankfort Church we're going to be talking about clearing out the clutter that has piled up, not so much in our homes or cars or workspaces, but the clutter that has piled up in our hearts. So we're talking about clearing out that clutter to make more room for Jesus. So if you've ever done battle with clutter in your home, you know how much energy you can waste on clutter. Because you can't organize clutter, you just have to get rid of it. And the same goes with the clutter in our hearts. We spend a lot of energy moving stuff in our hearts from one pile to the other. And this is all energy that should be used for other things, energy that should be used for loving God and loving our neighbors. And we do that by serving others. So really, we just need to get rid of all this clutter in our hearts so that we can better use our energy to serve God. And so last week, I tried to convince you that the way to do this is to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, which was one of our memory verses. I don't know if you tried to memorize that one from last week, but that was one of them. And we read that from 2 Corinthians. So what does that mean, taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ? That means whenever an unholy thought starts to clutter up your heart and your mind, you stop it. You stop it in its tracks, and you take that one out, and you replace it with a holy thought, with one of the holy thoughts from Scripture. If you remembered last week, we talked about Jesus being tempted by the devil in the wilderness, and every time the devil started to plant an unholy thought, Jesus removed that unholy thought and put a holy one from Scripture in its place. So Jesus successfully defended the devil's temptations three times, so I figured, hey, three was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. So we're going to be talking about three different kinds of clutter to defeat in our hearts. So I got to tell you, this first kind of clutter that I chose to tackle is one I'm pretty sure most, if not all, of us struggle with more than a little. I think it's something we struggle with a lot. And it's a sin, no doubt about it, but I think you might even think of it as kind of our favorite sin, or a besetting sin, as some people have called it. So this morning we're going to talk about the clutter of, or the sin of, worry. Hear what Jesus has to say about the sin of worry in this passage from Matthew 6. If you look at the bulletin insert, one side there's a list of scripture verses, on the other side it says Matthew 6, and I will be reading that, and you can read along with me to yourself if you would like. So this is what Jesus has to say about the sin of worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And in verse 28, he says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus sure isn't messing around when he's talking to his disciples about the sin of worry. I mean, he is blunt as can be. In that first verse, he says, therefore, I'm just going to tell you, don't do it. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you drink, about your body, or what you will wear. Now, it's interesting to think of Jesus saying that to the disciples. Because if you remember, when he called his disciples, when he said to them, come and follow me, they left everything behind. Jobs, clothing, family. They left behind every kind of material security in order to step into this unknown future of following Jesus. So it kind of makes sense that this would be something that Jesus would be saying to his disciples. Maybe they could use a little bit of encouragement. However, if you read more than just this little part of Scripture, if you go back a little bit further, you'll see Jesus isn't just talking to the disciples about this. This part of Matthew 6 is connected to the chapter before Matthew 5, which you've probably heard called the Sermon on the Mount. And that's a sermon that Jesus preached in front of all kinds of people, the disciples and his other followers, as well as, you know, they're just out gathered in the middle of kind of along the road, so any kind of rubbernecker who might have been walking from one city to another looks over and sees this big crowd, and they're like, oh, I wonder what that's all about. So they may have even joined the crowd. To all of these people, and I think to us as well, Jesus says, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, what you will wear. Do not worry about clothes, and do not even worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But aren't those exactly the kinds of things that we worry about? Those things that he just told us not to worry about? Maybe we don't worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or what we're going to wear, but I bet you we do worry about how. We worry about how am I going to be able to provide food, clothing, things to drink, a roof over our heads for me and my family. I imagine if I were to take a survey, we could add a few more worries to this list that Jesus gave us. Worries like, how am I going to provide for an education for my kids? How am I going to take care of my parents? The kinds of things that Jesus tells us not to worry about are exactly the kinds of things that we spend most of our time and most of our energy worrying about. An awful lot of our emotional and relational energy, our heart energy, which should be used loving God and loving others, instead is spent on the sin of worry. And Jesus' whole point here in this passage, and probably in this whole Sermon on the Mount, but particularly here, his point is that because God loves you, God will provide for you. The birds of the air don't do a darn thing. Flowers in the field, they do not labor or spin. They don't do anything but look pretty. So pretty, in fact, that they put even Solomon's wardrobe to shame. They don't worry about getting enough sun, get too much water. They just bloom wherever they're planted. So if this is how God generously provides for the birds and for the flowers, how much more faithful will he be in providing for you, his beloved child? How much more will he provide for you, the one he died for in order to save? Because God loves you, God will provide for you. Now, sometimes that means God provides for us through a job, right? And an income, and giving us enough things to eat and a roof over our head. But other times, maybe when jobs are hard to find, God provides through other people who are willing and able to give to others in need. Somehow, God always provides. And these are just the kind of everyday kinds of needs that he knows we all need. Because God loves us, God will provide for all of those other worries that clutter up our hearts. And that frees us to get rid of the clutter. We know, we believe that God will provide for our friend who is in the hospital, for the family that is grieving the loss of a loved one, for the elderly person wondering what's going to happen to them, for the couple waiting for test results, for the young adult wondering about marriage, for the student wondering about college, for the child scared of bullying. Because God loves you, God will provide somehow, some way. And the sooner we realize that very little in our world is actually in our control, the sooner we will be able to relax and stop worrying. Because we know it's all in God's strong, caring, capable hands. So even if it's not in ours, we know it's still in good hands. In a way which is unknown to us, but known to him, God will provide for us so that we're able to get rid of all of these worries, so that we can make more room in our hearts for Jesus. So I said a little bit ago that I decided to preach on worry first as the first kind of clutter, because I think it's something that we all struggle with one way or another. But there's another reason why I thought this one needed to come first. And I think it's because if you're spending all your time worrying, you're not praying. When we pray, what do? We give everything to God. We put all of the things that we are worried about, the situations, the people, we put those into God's hands. We put them right there. And when we worry, we take them right back again. You can't worry and pray at the same time. It's one or the other. Can't be both. And worry is a sneaky little thing, because you can be praying about something 1 minute, giving something to God, and then all of a sudden, you're not praying anymore. You're worrying. And you've just taken back whatever it was that you were trying to give to God. So that's why this idea of taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ is so important, because it can turn worry into prayer. It can stop you from taking back what you were just trying to give to God. Now, maybe that sounds simple, but if you've ever tried to do it, you know it's actually a little bit harder than you might think. You probably worry more than you realize if you've never stopped to pay attention to it. But I think I have an idea that if you're willing to accept your mission impossible for this week, I think this will help you. So on the other side of the insert, the Matthew 6 is on one side, and on the other side are four verses of scripture. They're printed there twice, so you can do what you did last week and tear the page in half and pick one verse from each of those halves to memorize or to try to memorize throughout this week. So the little project I have for you has to do with this piece of paper and the verse that you're going to pick. And it has to do with that piece of sea glass that you picked out of the container earlier. And that, where did I put it? At any rate, so I want you to hold that piece of sea glass in your hand. When you find yourself this week worrying about something, I want you to hold this piece of sea glass in your hand. Just acknowledge, all right, Lord, I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm worrying. So I'm going to hold this in your hand. And this piece of sea glass represents whatever it is that you're worried about. Whatever situation, whatever person, that's what this is for you. So as you hold it in your hand, I want you to say to yourself, read it, or if you've got it memorized, repeat it from memory, whatever of these four verses you are choosing to memorize this week. I want you to hold it. I want you to say that verse, say it out loud, say it in your head, whatever you want to do. And then I want you to put that sea glass down. And this will be your way of letting go, of giving back to God whatever it is that you were trying to pray about, but you started to worry about instead. So you hold it in your hand. This will be what you are worrying about, and by putting it down, you are saying, I'm giving this to you, God. I'm giving this to you. I'm putting it down. I don't want it back. I'm laying it at the foot of the cross. And when you find yourself worrying about that same thing or maybe a different thing, I want you to go back to that piece of sea glass, and I want you to pick it up, and I want you to do the same thing again and again. Until when that worry starts to pop into your mind and you're like, oh, I gotta go pick up that stupid piece of glass again, then I want you won't even have to pick it up anymore because you will realize that you're doing it and you will be able to stop it yourself. Does that make sense? Okay, I see some nodding heads, so I'm gonna guess you're on board with this. So if you do this as many times as you find yourself starting to worry about something this week, I think you'll find you'll be doing a lot more praying and a lot less worrying. Now, I have to give you this little caveat, because it's possible that you've been sitting out here listening to me talking about this do not worry, birds of the air, flowers of the field, I'm a beloved child, so I'll just sit back and not do anything, because God's going to provide for my every need, so why do I need to worry about working or paying my taxes or showing up for work on time? Why do I even have to bother with any of those things? Does this mean we can just kick back and relax and waste our time because God's just going to fulfill our every need? Well, in the words of the Apostle Paul, by no means. To read this passage, and I'm only saying this because this is how people interpret this passage. To read this passage and to think that God is like this amazing vending machine who's just going to spit out everything you need is to completely miss the point of what Jesus is trying to say. We need to be responsible. We need to be wise. We need to be careful. We still need to be proactive. We need to do everything in our power to live in a way that is pleasing to God. But that's our response. That's our response to the amazing things that God gives to us each day. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Because God loves you, God will provide for you. So this way of praying that we're talking about with the verse and the sea glass, this way of praying is for those situations that really feel out of your control. Some of the things you're worried about, if you just suck it up and do what needs to be done, like, you can take care of that worry. But there are other worries that are bigger than we are. And we can't, no matter what we do, we can't change or improve things. So this is what I'm talking, these are the situations I'm talking about with this kind of prayer. It's for the times when all we can do is believe that because God loves us, God will provide for us somehow, some way. So my friends, as you go out this week, remember, you can't worry and pray at the same time. You got to pick one or the other. And I hope this week you will work on clearing out the clutter of the sin of worry out of your hearts, so that there's more room for Jesus, and that all of his amazing grace can fill you right up instead of all this clutter. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.